The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This episode of the Agile Uprising podcast is brought to you by VGroup Digital. VGroup Digital provides native cloud-based software development services on iOS, Android, web, Mac, and Windows, as well as enterprise product development, maintenance, and support. VGroup Digital is led by a team of agile practitioners who believe in collaboration, constant feedback, and delivering the highest value at all times. Visit www.vgroupdigital.com for more info and mention the Agile Uprising podcast to get up to 15% off all development services.
This is the Agile Uprising podcast.
Welcome to the Agile Uprising podcast. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about Agile certifications. We're going to quickly just sort of run down just who we are. I'm going to kick it over to Troy to start and give a little sort of background on who he is.
Hello, I'm Troy. I'm a Scrum Master and an Agile team coach here based in New Jersey. I've been on quite a few podcasts in my life, so I'm really excited about this one. Something interesting about me, I'm a huge Denver Broncos fan, even though I'm not from Denver my whole life. And I'm a big Dream Theater fan, and I've seen them live 34 times. So if anybody knows what that band is, if you do, cool. So thank you.
Why don't we kick it over to Andy?
Hey, good evening. My name is Andy Bacon. I'm an Agile coach based out of the Washington, D.C. area. I've been doing Agile work for the past 7 years. This is my first podcast ever, and I'm really excited about it. Interesting fact about me is for the last 11 years, I've been doing a sport called adventure racing. And 2 years ago, I went to the World Championship in Ecuador.
Mr. McCalla, you're up.
All right. Thanks, Lev. So my name is Mike McCalla. I am an independent coach in out of the Philadelphia area. I've been coaching for about 5 years now, working on probably my fifth or sixth transformation. Fun fact about me is that I have been a little league coach for 15 years, and my oldest son is 5. So I've been coaching other people's kids. Because I love baseball and I love instructing the little guys.
Awesome. And I'll wrap it up real quick. I'm Andrew Leff. I'm also an Agile coach in the Philly area. Been coaching for the past couple of years. Just a fun fact about me, I'm a professional snowboarder in my head. I truly enjoy, that's one of my passions in life is being out on the mountain. So now that you know a little bit about us, we're going to probably just jump into this sort of rabbit hole about Agile certifications. So,
okay, Andrew. So Andrew, why don't you just start off, what kind of certifications do you currently hold?
So I currently hold the PSM from scrum.org. So, okay. And I am actually next week with Troy, who will be teaching the course, sitting for my CSM.
Awesome. Can't wait for that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's a good time.
How about you, Andy?
So I have a CSM and a CSPO and a CSP from the Scrum Alliance. I have a PMI ACP from PMI. And I also have two certifications that are on the IC Agile track. And I got those through going through a couple of Lisa Adskins classes through Agile Coaching Institute. One was on team Agile facilitation, and the other one was on coaching Agile teams.
Awesome. And Mike?
Very similar to Andy. I have a PMI ACP. I have a CSM. I have a CSP. And I also have the SA from the Scaled Agile Framework.
Cool. And myself, I also have the PMI ACP and CSP, CSPO, CSM, and PSM, like Andy. I'm sorry, like Andrew. So, and we're gonna talk about what all those are soon. A lot of people might not even know what those
are. That's a lot of letters. Right. A lot of letters.
Okay. All right, cool. Andrew, I'll turn it over to you.
So I am newly anointed with the Professional Scrum Master cert through scrum.org. Mm-hmm. It was a, I don't know how, I know Troy, you have some exposure to it. You're also a PSM certified as well. Do we want to go, I guess we can go into, it follows strictly around scrum.org. So it follows the Scrum Guide pretty much not to the letter, but more of a practical application. So it was interesting for me while going through it, the test and sort of the certification process really focused on sort of your knowledge, not right. just being able to regurgitate what you were reading. Because there was a lot of stuff in the Scrum Guide that necessarily wasn't in the exam. So it was more principle-based and sort of how you manage your sort of day-to-day Agile life.
And right. And Lef, what was the process that you had to go through to get that certification, right? Because I think it's a different process than the Scrum Alliance, right?
Yeah. So with Scrum.org, you don't need to sit for a class. So I actually took it on my own. I did not go to any classes for it. So I basically thought that I knew more than I did. I took the test and I didn't pass. I was like, wow, this was a lot harder than I thought. So I actually had to dig in and really kind of focus my attention on what the basis of the exam was. I mean, I hope I'm getting this right. I think it's 85 questions, and you have to score an 85 or better in 60 minutes. So yeah. There is a time constraint, and it's not just straightforward. So I had to spend a good amount of time to actually really focus in on understand sort of what the questions were asking.
So where were you focusing your time?
So I read the 16-page Scrum Guide, and then from there I sort of did some internet searching, you know, reading up on certain ceremonies and certain sort of keywords from the Scrum Guide. And then I also was sort of, it was funny, I started to write down stuff I was doing every day just to be able to remember it. So almost capture it and sort of solidify it in my brain to recant on it during the test. And it actually helped me. And I took a practice exam as well that they have for free online. And just sort of got a feeling for the cadence of questions and sort of timed myself to how quick I could answer things. But taking enough time to truly read through the question and understand it. So I don't know if Troy, you have any sort of different insight into that as well.
I think I might have had a slight advantage there because I've been so involved in teaching this CSM that the Scrum Guide is like kind of burned in my brain at this point from making my own presentations based on it to being around it to teaching it. So I just took it. I just said, you know what, I'm just going to take it, you know, right off the bat. Didn't study, didn't do anything. And tried to get a 95%, because if you get a 95%, that's like the first prerequisite to possibly becoming something called a PST, a professional scrum trainer. So I said, if I ever wanted to do that in life, which I don't have any aspirations right now, but I said, you know, always, you can always keep your options open, right? So, and I ended up getting a 93%. So maybe I should have studied. I did pass, but it was 2% away.
Yeah, you gotta rub that in, don't you? Yeah.
Totally. Troy, I'm interested because this is different, right? You're going through both tracks of both certifying bodies at almost the same time, right? This is an interesting experiment.
Okay.
Is there any difference?
Yes, big difference.
So I would love to, can you share some insight about that?
Okay, so I will say this. I am currently not going through the scrum.org track. Let me clarify that.
Okay.
When I took the test, I just wanted the certification anyway because I thought it would be cool to pass a test that was seemingly somewhat difficult. Not that the questions were so much difficult, but that there's 85 questions in 60 minutes. And that's a little bit difficult, I think, you know, because you don't really have much time to reflect. Mm-hmm. So, and you don't really have time to go to other sources if you need to look up an answer or something. So you pretty much just have to know the material. So
on that note, real quick, yeah. Not to interrupt you, but you, even if you had time, you really couldn't like cut and paste the question
right.
And get an answer because it was very diluted. The question was pretty open-ended. So there could have been multiple right answers dependent upon what your discipline is.
So it's not something that you can like take it and like, you know, Google search for answers for and then respond. Like you really, it's not even possible.
There were some that you probably could, but there wasn't enough time to sort through it. And on the second part of that, no, there was a good bit that you wouldn't been able to get a straightforward answer.
And there was a lot of questions. A lot of the questions were more based on what would you do in this situation, right?
Yep. Mm.
So it wasn't so much like how long is a sprint review supposed to be, you know, or something like that. It's more like, you know, if you were in this situation, how would you behave according to the Scrum guide, you know, the stuff like that. So
that's kind of similar. So I remember, and Mike, you took the PMI ACP exam, right?
I did.
Yeah. So if I remember, it was kind of similar. And that, it wasn't Scrum specific. So there was actually very little Scrum stuff. It was more sort of Agile in general and a mix of Scrum, XP, and even some Lean. But it was I remember it being kind of situational. Like there was some easy stuff, but kind of like what would you do or what would be the right answer? I don't know. Do you have a similar recollection or?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing about that was, Andy, as you alluded to, like, You're sitting in a room, right? Like it was PMI based, right? So you got a testing center and you're sitting in a room and you're timed and a lot of them's very situational. And to me, like that's the way the question should be, right? I mean, how are we going to apply what we're learning to practical experience, right? And that's where I give Scrum Org a lot of credit, right? For you know, taking that route. Now I know they do offer classes that you can go to prepare for these, but I'm not sure how many people actually take that up. But yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff should be situational.
So I also took the ACP, I studied. They recommended studying for 3 months. And I've never studied for 3 months for anything in my life, so.
Do you know why they recommend that, Troy?
Why is that?
Because that's the same amount of time they recommend for the PMP.
Okay, gotcha. So what I did was I scheduled it before studying. I scheduled it 3 weeks from the day, right? 3 weeks, I was like, I'm going to take this test in 3 weeks, no matter if I pass or fail, you know? So I just work towards that, basically.
So Troy, I got to come clean. I have a very similar experience.
Okay.
So when I went out on my own in 2011, 2012, PMP was still very popular. So sure. I thought it would be a great idea to complement my Agile experience with a PMP certification.
Right.
So I studied for the PMP for like a month. And I think every day I kind of threw up a little bit. When I was done taking that test, I swear to God, everything I learned in there, I completely didn't believe in. And I knew on that day that I was going to pursue a career in Agile. So I was starting a new contracting job a week and a half later. I think it was like 9 days. And I said, God, I got to get this out of my system.
Right.
So what I did was I signed up for the PMI ACP and studied for it in those 8 days and got it. And the rest is history.
Awesome.
Right. And I tell you, that's the honest to God truth. When I read the after doing Agile for about, I guess about 4 years, but I grew up in two startups mm-hmm. where it was all hands on deck, and what we were doing, we didn't call Agile, but it was. Mm-hmm. When I read the PMP, oh wow, that was just like, I couldn't take it. You know, I'm sure there's some value in there for some people, but it just wasn't me. And yeah, that's my story.
So,
yeah.
So yeah, the ACP, I got to be honest with you. When I took that test, I think the test was $500 and non-refundable. So if you failed it, you know, there goes your $500, right?
Yep.
And so when I pushed the submit button, I was nervous because every question I felt like had two right answers or could be right. You know, there were every question out of the 100, I think it was 120 questions. Every question was like, out of the four, there was always like two that could be right, you know, that was very similar. So I was like, I really don't know if I passed this or not. And I actually ended up doing pretty well on it, thankfully. But yeah, I was pretty nervous. I was like, well, I hope I didn't fail this test. Yeah.
So what I had the same feeling when I took the PMP, mm-hmm. I thought I failed. And I think I actually did fail. And then they gave it to me because they felt sorry for me or whatever. I was like amazed. But I don't know how that happened. That's weird. It's a true story. But when I took the ACP, I felt much more confident, but I still had my fingers crossed literally when I was putting the submit button.
Yeah.
It was just the format of the question.
Same thing, guys. When I took my PMP, and I spent a lot of time studying for that, right? Because it was really new territory for me. I was really concerned when I hit submit, right?
Right.
But again, when I took the PMI ACP, and this goes back to just kind of what I feel more comfortable with, right? Mm-hmm. I was pretty confident. And the thing I liked about the PMI ACP the most was that's when it really opened my eyes that Agile's much more than just Scrum, right?
Totally.
And that was really cool, like to be introduced to that stuff, like, you know, Lean and Kanban and kind of the origins of Agile and all those kind of different things, you know, DSDM and Crystal and all those things that kind of have come before us, that kind of opened my eyes that this was so much more, right?
Right.
And that's what I really thought the value in taking the PMI ACP was that it wasn't Scrum specific, right?
So you sort of lead into a good point, Mike. So is there value in instructor-led courses? And is there, as opposed to just going and reading on the internet and taking a test? So, you know, you brought up the point of there was more to, you know, Agile than just Scrum. So it's sort of, you know, painting with a broader brush. And you know, we could spin off also into the topic and saying, you know, all these certifications, do we feel that they're sort of watered down now? Is there still the same amount of value? But we can hold off on that topic if we want to just focus on the first point is just, you know, so, in classroom learning as opposed to in front of the computer learning.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, Lef, certifications, right, is about the learning experience, right? And I think we make the perception is that if you have a certification, you are an expert in that, right? And to me, it's more or less like the kickstart something that you're learning new, right? So in order to do that, I think that I like to go through the experience, right? To me, it's more about the instructor. Right? I really want to get my, you know, I've been practicing Scrum for, you know, 8 years now, but I still don't have my CSPO, right? And to me, I would love to take a CSPO class with some of the really influential trainers out there, right? The Sutherlands, the Lisa Atkins. Like, to me, it's just about the experience. Right, it's about learning from those people.
Hold on, I'm going to stop you there.
Yep,
because I actually want Troy, who is actually doing the training, who has you know, started to go down the training track, to sort of give some insight to this as well. Because I think this is an interesting sort of spin on things. So you have someone that, you know, what you just said, Mike. Now, I'd like to, you know, if you don't mind, Troy, you know, what's sort of your perspective on that?
So. Okay, so you asked me about, we originally were talking about Scrum.org versus Scrum Alliance, the two tracks, right?
Right.
So Scrum Alliance, and It really is the matter of, do I think that people should have to go to a 2-day class, right? That's kind of the difference between the entry level certs for both of those things. And I just look at, I feel like there's a place for both of those certs, because to me, this is the way I've been co-training with Dave Pryor from Leading Agile, and he has this description every time he teaches a class that a CSM is kind of like you pass. It's basically like if you go to the DMV when you're 16, right? And, you know, you pass your driver's test and somebody hands you the keys to the car, right? And you know enough now to just crash the car, basically.
And everybody else should look out, right?
Right? It's like you have enough knowledge to drive and destroy the car and everyone else around.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I like that.
And then he basically talks about the CSP, which is the next level up in the Scrum Alliance. Is now you're like 21 and you have 4 years experience under your belt driving, and now you can kind of be trusted to drive other people around and they're not going to feel like you're going to kill them, kind of thing.
Yeah, unless you're drinking now, right? Right.
Right. Now you add a couple more elements into it, right?
Right. So basically that's kind of how he phrases the CSP versus the CSM. And also CSPO is like somebody gave you the keys to the car, but you never even took the driver's test. Because in the CSPO, there's no test at all. You literally just have to attend 2-day training.
Right.
Right. So you've had exposure though to both, Troy. So you've taken the online learning and then you've done the in-class learning and have led or have started to go down some of the instructor route as well. Do you see a different kind of learning in that process? So do you see a different, the student, let's say, is there more aptitude for the student to be interactive in classroom sessions as opposed to just sitting in front of the, obviously there's going to be more interaction, but do you think the learning model is better in one particular scenario, different, too different to correlate together, or?
Right. Okay. So my opinion on this is I do believe, especially for newer people, right? It's particularly for newer people that the most valuable thing they can do is go to a 2-day class. Like that is, I think it's invaluable actually to be around a trainer who has a lot of experience, who can answer a lot of your questions about your personal companies. Because a lot of the things that people get out of these CSM classes is, one, obviously they're getting an education, but the ability to talk to essentially an expert for 2 days about the things that they're struggling with at their companies and, you know, asking advice and stuff. So that's something that a CST does. And that, I would say that is the most difficult. I mean, said, you know, if you're just going to go in front of people and recite from a deck for 2 days, obviously people will pay you for that because you're a CSC. But the value, the real value to me is the interaction between the trainer and the students.
So Andy, you also have quite a bit of certs. What do you have any sort of?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Troy was saying. I mean, so in the last couple of years, I took a couple of Lisa Atkins classes and, you know, I guess before I took those, I would say, yeah, it was really great to go get training and get some certifications. And you definitely learn from who's ever teaching. But Lisa's class was the first time I kind of left there actually feeling like it sounds kind of corny, but almost like changed as a person. And that wasn't, you know, it had nothing to do with the certification. There was no test. It was just the experience of being there and learning from her and Michael Spade and Doc Hammond and other folks that were in the class and the other people that were there and went through that experience with. I'm a big proponent of experiential learning and classroom-based instruction and learning from people who know a lot more than I do and can tell stories and not just read slides, because that's kind of what people remember. So I'm a huge fan of classroom type instruction.
Also doing hands-on activities is, in my opinion, is much more valuable than just like reading out of a book, because, you know, in Dave's CSM class, we do stuff like we have them write users. So basically one of the things we do is to be a Scrum Master, you have to understand the whole Scrum approach from every angle, right? So you have to be able to coach product owners on their job if you don't have a good product owner, right? So we teach a lot of product owner stuff in the CSM. So we teach product vision, product roadmaps, right? backlog prioritization, backlog refinement sessions. So we actually have like workshops for all of those different things. And that's not something that particularly a Scrum Master does, right? But they get to experience it. So they get to think of, they basically as a team. So let's say four people per table or five people per team, they get to create their own product ideas, create a product vision for it, then create a product roadmap for it, then write user stories for it, then critique their everyone else's user stories, then we critique their user stories. We go through a bunch of, so they really get an idea of, and then they go through a refinement session, breaking down stories, estimating, using relative estimations, a lot of stuff like that, that if you just read this in a book, I don't think it would have the same impact.
So Mike, I know I stopped you with your second thought before. Do you want to circle back to that? Because I have let me get this out of my head first and then we'll circle back to you. But
yeah, sure.
My thought process on the training, because I have a much more radical view on it, I resisted taking any certifications for a long time for the simple fact is I wanted to gain as much real-world grassroots experience so I could sit in a class and really understand what I was learning as opposed to looking at it as new and then having to go apply it. So I want to take what I've already learned and then utilize the classes and those certifications to now tailor all the knowledge that I've been able to gain and be able to use it in a much more laser focused way.
So having conducting, like, so basically going to these classes, right? To me, the certification is a bonus. We're going to actually learn. I know that's where I'm at my stage of my career, right? I want to go learn from the best and figure out how to be a better coach. And I'm heading out to St. Louis in 2 weeks for Agile Coaching Camp and just hoping to learn from the people there. But to your point, Lef, about, I think it's a great approach, right? It's a different approach in that you said, hey, I'm going to learn everything that I need, that I need to do to be successful in my job and everything that I've done over the past couple of years, and then go to these classes and see how radically different it is, right? And kind of challenge, and I think you see a lot of this, Troy, in doing co-training with Dave, challenge this theory, right, about how does that work in the real world? Because that's very true. So, in conducting a lot of these trainings internally within the organizations that I'm coaching at, I get the same thing, right? And you really got to come locked and loaded, right? Because you get peppered with questions about, yeah, that's great in theory, but, what about this? What about that? And it's these people that want to learn how to apply the theory. At the end of the day, there's a lot of organizational constraints that stop them from doing that. And a lot of times that's what we come back to is root cause analysis. But I think it's just a different approach. And I think it's valuable, man. I really do. The fact that, hey, I've lived and breathed this stuff for 15 to 20 years. And I love it. It makes sense to me. But how do we actually apply that in the real world?
So that's a good lead in to sort of another topic. So if you took my approach, Andrew's approach, does that hurt you in the job market as opposed to do these certifications open the door? Because you see more and more now saying CSM required, CSP, whatever it may be, EIEIO for God's sakes at this point, but literally it becomes, are these door openers? Are these mandatory? Are they watering down the market? Cause people are just getting certified with no knowledge of how to apply it, with the great analogy of, you're 16 years old. Now you have a car. Now you can go smash it. So again, I'd love to hear, your guys' take on that as well. I know where I stand. I've worked with a lot of certified Scrum Masters with a CSM. I shouldn't say a lot. I've worked with a few, and let's just say I wouldn't have certified them because they don't have the knowledge to actually apply what they've learned because they don't understand what they're doing.
Right. So I chime in on that one because I've been teaching the CSM. Part of the problem, I'm going to back up for 1 second before going back to the job thing. Part of the problem is, I'm not going to say what company these people are from, right? But the last CSM I co-trained, they're from a very big sporting company, let's say, in New York City, okay? And
going to Google.
And so,
and I was the Yankees? What?
And like half the class basically was from this company, right? So they're you know, day one, everything's going great, and they're really into it, you know. Day two comes along, like halfway through day two, and one of them asks a question. Well, our QA scrum team, and that's how the conversation goes. Okay. And then Dave kind of stops them, and he's like, wait, what? Like, oh, yeah, our QA scrum team. And they're like, first our front end scrum team does this, and then our QA scrum team does that, and blah, blah, blah.
Man, you smell that?
and then Dave, I think the quote was, "I can hear the water splashing on your head." That's what he was saying from up above. But yeah, so the problem is these guys can go, you know, through this course, they can get a general understanding of what it's supposed to be like. But when they go back to their companies, if they're not able to act as change agents at the company, which let's face it, a lot of people aren't in the position to do that, especially at a bigger company. Then, you know, a lot of the knowledge they get is great, but it's not going to really help them in their everyday life. And also they may just kind of, okay, I learned that knowledge, but not practicing it, you know, it might be, I don't want to say it's useless, but in some ways it might be, you know, if they're not able to affect change in some way at their organization. That's one thought about that. Any, what do you guys think about that?
Go ahead. I was going to say, well, now, I think when you have some certifications, like if you go to like somebody's LinkedIn profile and like look and they've taken some certification classes, one way to think about it is like, you know, for somebody out there looking for a job, it's a differentiator to an audience who doesn't really know better. So like, for example, there's a lot of recruiters out there who get a job description and they say, okay, well, we're looking for people who have a CSM, a CSPO, a CSP, whatever. And they see that and they're like, okay, well, this person must know what they're talking about. So at least kind of gets you in the door. But I think for those of us sort of in the community, I think like you were saying, I can't remember if it was Mike or Troy, what you're saying about, you know, the people who have their CSM, but you wouldn't certify them. Like, these are not the people who you would want to even coach as a scrum master, because they're just really not, don't really get it. And you don't, just by having a CSM, you don't necessarily like know what you're talking about. So, I think it gets you in the door. I mean, especially from like from a recruiting perspective, but you know, you can kind of tell pretty quickly, when somebody spent a bunch of time in certification classes, but really doesn't maybe not have a lot of like the real world experience to kind of see how things actually work.
So the company I'm working with right now, they have a recruiting branch, right? And I'll be honest with you, the main thing that people look for is CSM. Okay?
Yeah.
And when I say people, I mean recruiters. I don't mean the hiring managers per se. Okay.
Yeah, but here's the extra problem here, guys, right? Yeah. The hiring managers, so we're saying, hey, the recruiters don't know any better. Hmm. What I see a lot of times is I'm not sure if the hiring managers know any better.
I would agree with that.
Totally. Way to steal my thunder there, Mike. Right? I was chewing on that one.
Yeah, because, you know, and this is, right, and shame on them. Shame on them, right? For the organization to pay the money for a scrum master or even an agile coach, right? So being an independent agile coach, obviously we have to protect against ourselves. And sometimes the people that come to the table, you're like, you know, and with all due respect, man, like, have you ever coached a day in your life, right? Like, what have you done to improve at your craft, right? To me, that's the ultimate question, right? Like, what have you done lately? And a lot of times you don't get much, right? And it's the same thing with the scrum masters, right? Hey, I was a project manager. I went and I took a 2-day class and now I'm a scrum master, right? And to bring this full circle, Lef, at the end of the day, to me, it's shame on the organization. Experience trumps everything, right? So it definitely opens the door, right? It's a marketing ploy. Just like degrees, right? Like degrees from universities. It'll get you in the door. Education always opens the door, but it doesn't necessarily get you in that door, right? That's more about experience, character, practical application of the role that you're going to fulfill. So, you know, to me, you know, the people that are at fault here is the organizations that are hiring these so-called experts, right, that took a two-day class, right?
You know what I think is funny is I think the recruiters or the hiring managers that don't know anything about Scrum, they hear the word master in the term Scrum Master, and they assume that's someone with a lot of experience. I honestly believe that. And I honestly believe that a certified Scrum Master to them sounds like some kind of super guy who has a lot of experience, who has a certification. That I don't think they even realize that it's just somebody went to a
college. I would agree. So you've been in a meeting with somebody and you ask around like, hey, you know, what's your Agile experience or whatever? And somebody very confidently says, yes, I'm a certified Scrum Master. Like, it means something.
Yeah. All 1,200 hours.
No, I mean, I don't mean that to say like totally flip, but I mean, but it kind of is, right?
Right.
But it's an interesting.
It's not.
Uh-huh. It's an interesting conversation because you brought up something, Mike, that sort of I was thinking as well. Of course, you're stealing my thunder again. But in the sense of what, you know, eat, breathe, and sort of drink this stuff. I know that here's a shameless plug with the spin of Agile Uprising that, you know, collectively as the group of individuals on this call, as well as the others with the group, we don't stop learning or absorbing or trying to hone our craft when we walk out of our jobs door, right? This is ongoing. This is 24/7. This is a constant pursuit to sort of be better, to learn, to absorb, and really hone in on this stuff. So to me, those certifications help hone that craft. Unfortunately, I think I'm the minority in that. But I think that should be a requirement. And that could be a whole other podcast. But, you know, since we're sort of going off on a tangent a little bit. But I really do. I think you need to be a practitioner. And I think you should earn these through being a practitioner and not just being able to sit through a class.
So why don't we talk about, I'm sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
No. One last thing there. So when I'm interviewing Scrum Masters at organizations that I'm at, one of the questions that I ask right out of the chute is, you know, what have you done to kind of improve at your craft, right? Have you gone to any conferences? Are you reading any blogs, right? And to me, it really speaks to whether or not they're serious about this. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times they can't answer that question. And it's just disappointing, right? Sure. It really is disappointing. They might be a really good Scrum Master, and we might dig in and peel it back. And at the end of the day, they might be really good. But I'm just disappointed that there's not folks out there like us left that are taking that kind of – that approach, like, how do I get better at this, right? Because it's such a different mindset. And so many people have lived a different life, right? That traditional corporate life where they were brainwashed. So getting out of that is just ridiculously difficult. And I can even tell you, like, I only lived 6 months within a large corporation when I was earlier in my career, and I was brainwashed, right? So it takes a long time to get out of that.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Troy. I know you were going to chime in at this point.
I was just going to say maybe we can just kind of give a brief rundown of the different types of certifications out there, like the most popular ones in Agile, and then talk about which ones we personally feel like have the most value as far as what we got out of them versus also what we feel like recruiters or hiring managers might be looking for. If there's overlap there, if there's not. So the major certifying bodies right now are the Scrum Alliance. I would say that is the most popular.
Agreed. Yeah.
Obviously, PMI has their ACP. And I think there are about around 12,000 people who have ACP on the entire planet. So that's not a lot. as compared to, like, I don't know how many people have a PMP, probably a lot. I think there's over 400,000 certified Scrum Masters in the world from the last time I checked, 450 maybe. And there are about 4,000 CSPs. So it's about a lot less, obviously. So the Scrum Alliance has three entry-level certifications, the Certified Scrum Master, which we've been talking about, the certified Scrum product owner and the certified Scrum developer. They're all the CSD course, I think, is 5 days, the developer course. And that is a lot of hands-on development, obviously. The CSM is a two-day course, which you have to be there all 2 days. You can't be on your phone or emailing people or else the CSD won't give you the certification. But you do have to take a test at the end, but I'll be honest with you, the test is very easy. It's open book, open note, open internet, everything, and you have as much time as you want to take it.
I want to ask the Scrum Alliance if anyone has ever failed that test.
Yes, I know if people have failed it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Dave was talking to me about it, that he had a guy at his last one that failed, and he said the guy was on his computer the whole time. Then he said recently he had two people fail it. He also had a 12-year-old Girl Scout from Oklahoma pass it. So that is a good example.
Nice.
way to devalue us. All right. I can be replaced.
I was going to say, left. You going to step out, man?
Yeah. I'm going to get my kid to do it.
So the test is not hard. That's my point about that question. So those are the three entry level. Then there's one that's kind of in the next level up, which I think you have to show 4 years of experience to get, and 4 years in Agile, as well as you have to have your CSM at least minimally. And then you have to have something called 70 Scrum educational units, mm-hmm. which are basically a combination of attending events, attending trainings, giving trainings, basically community involvement is part of that. And I would say out of all the certifications I had, that's the one I like the most personally, the CSP. Because I feel like I had to do a lot. You know, that was one of the reasons I even initially started. I run this Lean Coffee in Princeton once a month. And I was looking for ways to get these educational units. And I said, well, why don't I just start my own meetup, right? And I might be able to use some of this time towards that. And I talked to the Scrum Alliance and I said, yes. And through that meetup, I've met some great people. I've really gotten out a lot out of the meetup. So I think the CSP certification has, for me personally, has a lot of value there. Do you guys have any other opinions about the CSP before I move on to the rest of the certs?
Yeah, I would agree with you there. That's probably my biggest cert because and when I'm even when I'm at a client and I'm interviewing CSMs, right? Mm-hmm. If they have their CSP, or let's just say I'm interviewing Scrum Master positions, they have their CSP, at least we go back to what I said, at least it shows me that they're involved somewhat in the community. Mm-hmm. And so I think that carries a lot of weight. I'm looking at this picture that you have on the screen right now, Troy. It's I saw this today for the first time. This is fairly new on the Alliance site. I kind of like how they're portraying this, right? That's kind of the transition. The CSP is transitioning from that entry level to that expert level. And on the expert level, you have the CST, the CEC, which are pretty legacy stuff, and then the new CTC that they've come out with, which is more of the certified team coach, so it's a more team-oriented. Mm-hmm. I can agree with this, right? I think this all makes sense. It is kind of that track that you pursue. Having your CSP, I just had to renew mine for the first time, mm-hmm. right? I had to go back and put in my 70 hours, you know, shame on me for slacking on doing it as I did things. if I see a CSP in the market, I know the person is pretty serious about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I think it does carry a little, it definitely carries more weight than the entry levels.
I definitely agree there. So you talked about the CST, so that's the Certified Scrum Trainer. I think there are about 180 so in the world of that. It's pretty difficult to get there's quite a few reasons why it's difficult. But that's something that I'm currently going through now, kind of on that track. Whether or not I ever get that, that's another story. But it's definitely not easy to get that. But I honestly, no matter what, I'm actually learning a lot by being on this track as far as training a lot of different types of people, answering questions from people that I don't know. It kind of helps you become a better trainer, I think, just in general, going through the coach trainings. So, and then you have the team coach and the enterprise coach, which I'm not as familiar with those as how to get them, but I hear they're actually pretty difficult.
I would say the CEC is basically as hard as to get for the CST. There's actually only 95.
Okay.
CECs. And from my understanding, the CTC track and getting that certification is as difficult. And so right now, I think they launched it maybe 6 months ago. I still think there's maybe only like five. Okay. So it's a, you know, and this is what separates the men from the boys for me, like being an independent coach, mm-hmm. right? These are things that I aspire to get. Okay. What's your thoughts on that, Andy? Just being in that space yourself.
Yeah, I've given a lot of thought about seriously pursuing the certified team coach. I feel that's the one I could probably like actually put in an application for and like feel good about it. I think I need a little bit more experience to go for the enterprise coach. It's really interesting, to be honest with you. I mean, not to get off Scrum for a minute, but one of the things that I'm struggling with a little bit, thinking a lot about is sort of like, am I going to make the investment in Scrum specifically? And I know that when you read the applications for the CEC and CTC, they talk a lot about not just Scrum, but Agile in general. So they talk about knowledge of Lean and Kanban and other things. But I spent a lot of time lately thinking about kind of where the industry is going to be in 5-10 years and where I want to make that investment. So I'm kind of struggling with it, to be honest with you. I mean, I think, is a CTC and a CEC and a CST going to be a really valuable thing because of the learning involved that goes along with having to get it? Absolutely. For me, I don't know if it's something I'm going to pursue or not, though, just for those reasons. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I think, Andy, you raise an interesting point. So either you do it for you because it's important to you, or you're doing it for a reason to open up a door or for more opportunities to sort of, you know, help sell your brand, if you want to call it such. But I think that's always sort of the argument to me. It's an interesting one. It's definitely an interesting one.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, Andy, that you mentioned is you have a few IC Agile certs, and that's a body that's kind of starting to gain momentum. And I just wanted to get your feedback on what your thoughts were, what your experience was. I know you said it was quite positive, but what's your thoughts as far as where they're going, and do you feel like they're going to have an impact on the industry?
So before you answer that, do we want to jump into IC Agile and just explain what it is and maybe give just a brief intro for people that don't know, and then we can maybe, you know, get into a little more of a discussion about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So from what I know about it, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, of all the groups that are out there, I know the least about IC Agile. And the only reason really I know about it was one of the folks who works for the organization, Shannon Ewan, used to work for the same company I did several years ago. And she's been involved with them for a while. And so when I was talking to her a while back about, hey, you know, I'm really looking to take the next level and get some more education, she suggested I look at IC Agile, and that's how I found Lisa's courses. I think the IC Agile curriculum is pretty good. It's really broad. I mean, they have a ton of different tracks and different levels. I mean, they sort of like have the entry level ones, like you take the class, there's no really test. And then there's professional level certifications that I think you actually have to have some experience and submit an application for and stuff like that. I don't know if there's as stringent requirements to become like a trainer. Like I have a feeling just by looking at like the number of people I've seen like on their LinkedIn profiles, like I'm an IC Agile certified education provider. I feel like it's not as stringent as like becoming like a CST, for example. I don't know if that's actually fact or not. I just kind of have that kind of feeling.
So to touch on that, to interrupt you, I'm starting to work with IC Agile now. I'm actually trying to help develop the curriculum for their business agility track. So yes, it's different. It's more community based. You submit information and they sort of take it and review it. And then there's, you know, they basically go off and collaborate with you to hone it in and see if it fits within the confines of what they want to certify. So it's a different approach.
Glef, they're actually reaching out to the community to allow them to kind of build up their content, their knowledge base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So not for everything, but for certain, it's not a fully baked thing yet. Like if you go out to the business agility track certifications, they're looking for input to basically how to framework this business agility.
That's very cool, man. That's cool.
It's different. And listen, I hope to have I would love to have my stuff selected for that, because that's where my sort of passion lies within the business agility of things. But in any case,
I think that's actually a really interesting point. I mean, it may be a big difference between like Scrum.org and Scrum Alliance is that, you know, not that it's not community based, because I certainly think it is. But like with IC Agile, there's no, you know, Ken Schwaber and Jeff Sutherland standing there sort of maintaining the Scrum guide. Like, it's very community based sort of, you know, information gathering and developing of that curriculum. And I think that's just it's an interesting difference.
Yeah, because it almost goes back to your point when you were saying if you weren't sure if you wanted to get into bed with just Scrum, right? Like, you weren't sure if that's the only thing you wanted to do. To me, with, and this isn't to promote IC Agile at all, it's just sort of a different view from what I understand about them, is this can pull together your entire book of knowledge, and you can kind of tailor that. So it takes it to the next level. It's not entry level. You wouldn't necessarily take this if you just want to learn about Agile. This would be more of a, you know, practitioner's approach to say, now I want to apply all the things I know about Agile, and now I want to sort of frame it in a different way, almost if you were to create your own framework, per se.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, guys, I see Agile and even Agile Uprising is just a product of Agile being adaptive, right? Like, so there's so many new things. There's so many there's a lot of good stuff out there, from really smart people, some really smart thought leaders, right? And we've all talked about this within our community. Like, why can't we just pick and choose the things that work for these organizations, right? Why do we have to be married to one framework, right? Every organization is different. And does Scrum work? I think it's a really good framework to start with, right? But to your point, like, at the end of the day, you want to get to a point where you get to continuous flow, right? And, organizations need to get away from the safes, and they need to get away from the scrums, right? And they need to get into that continuous flow model. And I think that's where we're going. And I even think Scrum Alliance, to your point, Andy, about, hey, I don't know if I want to get married to Scrum. If you read those applications for their certifications now, they're only like 10 or 20% Scrum. So they're almost like kicking themselves, like, wow, we have Scrum in our name, right?
I did think that was weird. I just read like the Certified Team Coach or Enterprise, one of the applications, and I was actually surprised about, like, right up front, it says, you know, it's much broader than just Scrum, which I guess isn't surprising, because that's kind of real life when you get into coaching and really even being a Scrum Master, it's bigger than Scrum.
So I guess this could be a topic for a whole nother podcast. Yeah. The future of Scrum versus... Yeah, right? all right, real quick, I just want to cover one more certifying body, because we haven't really touched on them much, except for the PSM, which is scrum.org. And I feel like, the knowledge I have about it, and maybe you guys could chime in if you know more about this, for those who don't know, Scrum was created by Ken Schwaber and Jeff Sutherland, okay? And Ken Schwaber, I believe, at one point was with the Scrum Alliance. And then he broke off and started Scrum.org, okay? And so Scrum.org is actually from the co-creator of Scrum. So you would think, hey, this should be the most popular one, just going by that, right? Because of Scrum Alliance history, and they've been around the longest, and they have, you know, great marketing, and the way they have run a really good business, they are the most popular. And so Scrum.org, they have these assessments, tests, so you don't have to attend any training to get their assessment. And Andrew and I talked about the PSM earlier, where it's a little more about real world experience and real world practicality versus just knowing how long something's supposed to be or what are the roles of a Scrum team, etc. So the website is scrum.org for that. They have a Scrum Master, they have product owner, they have a developer, kind of like Scrum Alliance. They also have different levels of their Scrum Master as well. So they have PSM 1, 2, and 3. I haven't taken 2 or 3, but I've only taken the first one.
So Troy, they just to chime in there, they just blew that out to three levels. Originally, it was only level one and two. And in speaking to some of the folks over at scrum.org at the Heart of Agile in Philadelphia, part of that problem was the PSM2 was extremely difficult to get, right? So they felt like there was no middle ground there. So the PSM2, the historical one, has is actually now the PSM3, where it's very, I think it's essay-based. So PSM1 is, you know, just online, multiple choice. I'm not sure what the PSM2 entails. I think it's a mixture of both. Some more complex multiple choice accompanied by maybe a few essays. But I don't know if you guys ever looked at the PSM2. It's pretty intense.
I have not looked at it yet.
Yeah, so that's what that, like, in speaking to them, there wasn't many people out there pursuing it because it was so difficult. So what they did was they created a interim, like a middle track, and that's now the PSM2, which is interesting, right? The one thing, and I don't want to get away from scrum.org, because I feel like, you know, I've met the scrum.org guys. Dave West is now the chief product owner of scrum.org. And I think he has a really good vision for the future of Scrum. It's very much aligned to what we're all saying about business agility and baking in DevOps, right? So not only marrying up the collaboration between the business and development, but also bringing in operations and truly being, right, truly getting to a business agility model. The other guys that we didn't talk about here, Scrum Inc. Now, they are not necessarily a certifying body, but that's Jeff Sutherland's company.
The other thing I mentioned is an interesting difference between the different certifying body models is that Scrum Alliance, you know, you take a class which costs some money, and then you take your exam, and then you have like a yearly certification renewal fee. I can't remember what exactly it is. From what I understand, you don't have that with scrum.org. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any continued learning that you need to do, or, you know, credits or anything to retain your, I don't know if for the PSM1, I don't think you do. I don't know for the others.
Well, the Scrum Alliance, it's 2 years, I believe.
2 years. Okay. Yeah. But within scrum.org, I think it's just, you pay your fee like for a PSM1 and then you nothing again, like forever. And that's kind of it's just a different business model, I guess.
It is, Andy. But Andy, once you get up to be, let's say you did pursue the scrum.org professional trainer, I think that's $7,000, and I'm pretty sure that's a yearly fee.
Yeah, there's definitely, it's almost like becoming a safe trainer. There's a yearly fee to do it.
Also a yearly fee for CST, but don't think it's $7,000.
But I also thought that once you have, like, if you're with Scrum Alliance, if you're training under Scrum Alliance, you can't do scrum.org.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
Okay.
Yep. I'm 90% sure that is accurate. I know there is some exceptions out there. Well, I don't know, guys. I don't know if there is exceptions. I don't think there's anyone training for both scrum.org and Scrum Alliance, right? But I know Scrum Alliance has always been pretty stringent upon, hey, you can't train under any other brand, right? But Lisa Atkins is a CST, right? Jeff Sutherland is a CST. They are training under their own brands.
Right. So scrum.org, last thing I want to talk about them is they have a framework which is relatively new called Nexus. And I don't know if you guys, are you familiar with that? I read the Nexus guide. I think it's great. I think it would, I've never done it like an organization. It's pretty new, like I said, but something I would love to try out sometime because I do think it's a well thought out framework for teams from three to nine scrum teams. Anybody have any thoughts about Nexus?
My quick thought on it is it's just another way to scale Scrum. I mean, it seems like everyone's sort of branding something for scalability because Scrum just doesn't scale.
Right.
Right. It kind of seems like it's stuff you do pretty naturally.
That's true.
and maybe that's like what makes it so appealing is that it's very simple and it has a very smooth looking graphic.
Right.
I haven't done like a comparison like with Less, for example, but I think there's a lot of kind of commonality.
There's a, yeah, so there is a ton of commonalities there. Less is very lightweight. And the thing I like about Nexus is it's lightweight as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're right. It's kind of stuff we're already doing. If you actually go through the Nexus guide, it's very similar to the Scrum guide, where it literally follows the same thing with the exception of like this whole integration team. Mm-hmm. I haven't really, dabbled in it. But I think, eventually we could use some of the ideas. If places have five or six teams and they're organically growing, right, and they have to start integrating, right, that is something that I would go to, I think, just to kind of get his ideas. Because I think he could be on to something, right? He's keeping it a lot lightweight. Just like, I forget, who's got Less? Who created Less?
Craig Larman.
Craig Larman, right. So same thing with, like you go to Craig Larman's site, it's pretty good stuff. There's some things there that are a little interesting.
It's like the anti-safe,
Yeah, exactly. With the scaling, I feel like it's, there's a lot of good ideas out there and you just pick and choose what works for you.
It makes sense. So guys, to wrap up, why don't we talk about what we think the value of certifications are? Not specific, but personally, what do you think the value to you is of getting a certification?
Let's start with Mike.
Mike,
you got literally 30 seconds to sum it up for us.
All right. So to me, it just opens doors, right? It's a marketing thing. It opens doors. It doesn't get you in that door. And it's more about the learning. And the certification is a bonus.
Okay.
Andy, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's a way to just continue to show that you're engaged in the community and have a continuous learning mindset. I think that's the value.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing as well, continuous learning. Like I said, I really like the idea of going to somewhere for a couple of days and bouncing ideas off of other people and learning from other people, not just the one book. So I think there's a lot of value in that.
And for me, emulate what everyone else says. It's really the value in it. And for me, it's honing in on sort of breaking bad habits that I've learned and understanding to apply that knowledge and how to apply it and even why I'm doing it. So makes for much more interesting coaching, to say the least. in lieu of that, I thought this was a really good discussion. I mean, I could sit here and talk about this stuff, for hours on end. I feel like we do anyway. So, thanks everyone for jumping on a call tonight and sort of walking through the podcast. So this was good. I just want to open up the opportunity if anyone has anything they want to sort of, I don't like to use the word plug, but plug. Or promote. I know for me, it would just be, hey, this thing called Agile Uprising is something we're all near and dear to, and we definitely want people's input on it. So if you haven't been out to the site, please check us out and support the cause.
Yeah, I'll second that, Andrew. Second. I mean, that's really all I would promote here is that I'm really learning a lot, and hopefully others are learning from me. So I would definitely just endorse it. We're welcoming all Agilists, beginners, experts, and let's all learn from each other.
Yep. Agreed. And our free coalition is coalition.agileuprising.com. So please join, and we'd love to have you.
Absolutely.
Woo!
And follow us on Twitter at Agile Uprising.
Solid plug.
Nice.